this story. Let us pray, Almighty God. We just thank you. We praise you. We glorify you for this day. Oh, a day that made to just change everything. Everything about life, everything about creation. Washed our sins away. Our sins have been made. They've been washed away. And the sacrifice is acceptable. So, Lord, search me right now. Try my heart right now, oh Lord. Just give me clarity of speech, of sight, of mind. Remove whatever might be destructive to the preaching of your word. And then, as always, oh Lord, my heart is heavy, but I'm still rejoicing. So I call you to give me the strength to preach this word one more time. And I'll give you all honor, all glory, all praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Know the story, tell the story. There are only a few of us in the building. The sheriff called me, okay. However, many are watching not only this worship, but services that are being streamed all over the world. All because somebody told the story. The story of Jesus and his love. And I got to admit, it's a story that has made a difference in my life and hopefully a difference in your life. A difference in the lives of so many for over 2,000 years. And don't take that statement lightly. For I don't know about you this morning, but there have been times in my life, if it wasn't for the resurrected Jesus, the one who stepped down from glory and put on human flesh, the one who suffered and died for our sins, the one whose resurrection we celebrate this morning. Yes, God got Jesus up with all power. I don't know whether I'd still be here. Or that body that got up was more than a resuscitated corpse. For a resuscitated corpse could be killed and put back in the grave. A resuscitated corpse could not experience eternal life. A resuscitated corpse could not sit in glory and plead our case. Oh, it was not a resuscitated corpse that got up, but a new body. A new body that was able to walk with people, walk and talk with people, and not be recognized. Oh, come with me, disciples on the road to Emmaus. They walked and talked with Jesus, but they didn't recognize him until he broke the bread. Oh, this confirms my belief that at the Last Supper, in addition to 12 and Jesus, other disciples were present. Come with me, Mary, at the tomb when you spoke to the man you thought was a gardener. It's only when he called her by her name that she knew it was Jesus. And ain't it good news this morning with so much going on that Jesus knows your name. But back to the disciples and Mary, let me help somebody this morning. It appears to me that when we get to glory, we will be recognized by two things. The things that we have said and the things that we have done. It's about time to get it right on this side. It was a new body that could show up and in a moment disappear. A new body that began a new kind of life in this world. And sadly, today there are people who call themselves Christians that don't want that new life. A new life where everybody is our neighbor. A new life where all people are seen equal, not only in the sight of God, but all the rest of humankind. A new life where there's no greed or hate. And I have to tell the truth and shame the devil. That's why people don't want you to know the real story, the story of Jesus and his love. That's why I hate to preach that series, Rediscovering Jesus. But just as those in the text wanted to change the narrative and say that Jesus didn't get up, there were people today that will tell you the story in a way that enslaves us so that we accept what evil comes our way. Enslave us so that we feel that even in the presence of Jesus, our lives will not make our situation better in this life. Jesus was a healer, but we refuse to let Jesus heal us. Jesus fed 5,000 with good food, but we refuse to eat the food that Jesus wants us to eat, food that is good for us. And because we embrace a narrative of enslavement, and that narrative has been embraced so much in too many instances in the churches that we attend, that slavery is enforced. Start speaking up against that slavery. Start talking about new life right here on earth, and they will show you the door. I know what I'm talking about this morning. But trying to empower the people of God will get you in trouble with religious folk. When God got Jesus up, and if you don't get anything out of this sermon, get this, the resurrection of Jesus is even more than a new pattern. The resurrection of Jesus is the initiation of a new kind of existence that he possesses, and the initiation of a new kind of existence that all of us can possess. Oh, it's a life of joy, a life of peace, peace with God, and the abundant life that Jesus wants all of us to live. I'm preaching a story from the Gospel of Matthew. Each gospel tells the story in its own way. Matthew was written to a Jewish audience. That's why you'll never see Son of God written in Matthew. But no devout Jew would ever call God's name. Mark was written to non-Jews. That's why they didn't need to talk about the birth of Jesus. That's why Mark freely uses the term Son of God. I said all that to say, stop harmonizing the Gospels or mixing them up at Christmas, at the cross, on Resurrection Sunday. But each writer is trying to make a theological point on how he saw Jesus, and a theological view that should help us inform how we see Jesus. See, it's just when we mix everything up, we miss the little things, and it's the little things that can mess up them. See, little things keep us from missing the big picture of Jesus being born of a virgin, Jesus suffering and dying for our sins, God getting Jesus up with all power on that first resurrection Sunday, and because of that new life, Jesus is coming back to give it to us. Since Matthew is telling his story to Jews, he's probably dealing with people who are having a hard time believing who Jesus is. And they believe in the lie that we talked about in the text. People who said they believed in God and knew the prophecies found in the only Bible Jesus and the early church had, the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament. And maybe that's why I'm what some people call such an Old Testament preacher. Because I believe that I'm following Jesus. And if I'm trying to lead the church as closely to the model of the New Testament church as I can, I should preach what Jesus preached. I should preach what the apostles preached. Not just every day I did, but on a regular basis. But the first thing we see in this text is, an oppressive government killed Jesus. It was not the Jews, but Rome. Nothing new. Remember the story of the three Hebrew boys? Their old man tried. It was because of God he failed. And it's not just in the Bible. There was Denmark Bessing and Nat Turner. In fact, when people started setting people free, and that's what Jesus said he was going to do, when he picked up the scroll in the synagogue and preached his initial sermon, not only will the oppressive rulers get to a rid of you, sometimes religious leaders conspire right along with them. Yeah. It's in the text scene. On the bird pain of the crucifixion, the chief priests and the Pharisees, they gathered before Pilate. Pilate, who was the governor who had the army. The army that carried out crucifixion. Crucifixion, the lethal injection and electric chair of its day. Crucifixion, that was a vehicle used to keep the oppressed under control. But Jesus was not the first and only person to be crucified. Not only were the two thieves killed beside him, some have said that crosses lined the roads of Bethlehem as a reminder of what would happen to anybody who got otherwise. See, it's just that when government and religion get together, not back then, but right now, it's bad. See, for all of us see God through different businesses. And because government, in too many instances, is only concerned about a few people, religion that is tied to government neglects the needs of so many while making cover for you. Jesus had died. They knew the good work Jesus had done. They knew what he said about his return. But listen to that conversation with Pilate. Sir, we remember what that deceiver said was a lie. See, that's the key to letting you know that Jesus was making a difference. A difference in the lives of oppressed people. And you know, because in the lives of oppressed political people that were oppressed both politically and religiously, and people that they felt didn't count. See, that's why they had to label Jesus. Label him a deceiver. Even though he gave sight to the blind, and a deceiver, even though he made the lame walk, a deceiver, even though he fed 5,000 with two fish and 5 loaves of bread, a deceiver, even though he stopped and calmed the raging sea. I don't know about you this morning, but I want a deceiver like that in my life. And if folk label you as an activist, be an activist for Jesus. If they label you a rebel, be a rebel for Jesus. Just remember, when you start making things better, people will label you just like they labeled Jesus. Or they knew Jesus so well, they reminded Pilate of what Jesus had said. After 3 days, I will rise again. But isn't it amazing? People will try to keep God from doing what God is going to do. So that same government tried to keep Jesus in the tomb. Government can't control that storm that's coming about. Government can't talk climate change away. Government can't control coronavirus. In fact, it can't control a common cold. It's sad when some folks get a little power, they think they can control God. To keep their stance, to continue to have their photo ops with power, just like some still do in the day. They said, order the grave to be sealed until the third day. Well, God could have gotten Jesus up on the second day. God could have got Jesus up on the fourth day. It's just God has a way of doing what God says that God would do. They even came up with a rational now, but sealing the tomb. His disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people he has been raised from the dead. Instead of acknowledging the hand of God at work. And they look at it, they say the last deception will be worse than the first. You know Pilate was troubled. Troubled because he had ordered a man to be killed and it was not justified. Pilate, who had a right to tell that told him to leave Jesus alone. Pilate, whose word that God's work might endanger his position, said to the religious folks, you have soldiers, but God didn't. And let me explain this. see, I know a little bit of history about this. See, that was a part of the deal when the Romans took over, protect the high priests who were on their side. See, because before the Romans took over, high priests were assassinated because of their political connections. And so they said, don't make the tomb as secure as you can. It's just that anything we do is no match for God. So they went and secured the tomb by sealing the stone and posting the guard. And anybody who has attended a Resurrection Sunday service knows, even though the tomb was sealed, even though the guards were standing tall, God, in God's own way, rolled the stone away. Some said it was an earthquake. Well, if this was an earthquake, it was an earthquake of God. If the angel came down from heaven, the angel was of God. The stone had been rolled away. The soldiers stood there looking like dead men. But as for the women who were with Jesus at the cross, the women who got up early to travel to the tomb, the women who would be the first to proclaim the good news of Jesus. Jesus came to bring about new life, and too many men are still trying to deny women that new life today. The angel said, don't be afraid. I know who you're looking for. Jesus, who was crucified. Oh, let me tell you, he ain't here. He has been raised by faith, just as he said. You know, I'm upset about the coronavirus and all the pain it has afflicted. But the good thing this morning is that the focus is only on one thing. Jesus being raised from the dead. No bunnies, no eggs, no hats, no suits, no parades, no cantata arena, no plays, just Jesus and the fact that God got Jesus. The angel tells the women, hurry, go and tell his disciples. He's been raised from the dead. He's going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. The angel told the women he had given them the message. He did not tell them, go and get the disciples so I can give them the message. Oh, I think I need to say that again. Jesus told the women he had given them the message. He didn't tell them, go get the other disciples so I can give them the message. See, Jesus came to overturn the curses that the writers of Genesis had observed when they wrote about the fall. And Jesus got rid of those curses on that old river cross. God said they were gone when God got Jesus up. But because too many times, because too many of us want to hold on to the power like the religious leaders in the text, we enforce the curse instead of getting rid of what Jesus got in us. I'm saying to men this morning, let go of those curses. And women, if the men around you won't let them go, you need to get this step in, because Jesus died to set you free. Having been free and given power in a special way. They had two emotions with great fear and excitement. They heard and ran to tell his disciples. Oh, when you got a divine experience, even though you might have mixed emotions, excitement and fear, when you do as you have been told to do, there's even a bigger blessing on the way. Because the text says, but. And whenever you see that word, you know something powerful is going to happen. But while they were on that way, but while they were excited and in fear, Jesus met him and greeted them. The women were told by Jesus that they were to go and meet the disciples in Galilee, meet Jesus in Galilee. But Jesus met those women exactly where they were. And if we are just faithful, if we trust God, God will meet us where we are. That's a beautiful story, a powerful story. However, it did not fit the narrative of an oppressive government and their religious supporters. So, their government decided to spread a lie. Fake news ain't nothing new. And then, as now, the ones who are calling the good news fake were the ones coming up with the lie. Here it is. As the women were on their way, the guards came into the city and told the chief priests everything that happened. They needed to come up with a plan for what they saw as deception. So they met with the elders and decided to give a large sum of money to the soldiers. Oh, probably been around for a long time. In fact, in the years before the birth of Jesus, if they didn't kill the high priest to get rid of him, they would bribe the government to take the position. I mean, one guy he bribed to get, another guy bribed and got him out of there. See? Bribery had reared its ugly head when it came to deciding who would become the high priest. It's just that when the ones you paid run out of money, or they feel they have you over the bar, you either got to pay them more or kill them too. Then the religious folks in high places, in order to protect their images, they came up with a lie. A lie denying what God had done. Saying that Jesus' disciples came at night and stole his body while you were sleeping. But I can remember Martin Luther King Jr. said that a lie can't live. But even though for too long we have embraced liars, and the more they lie, the more people embrace those liars. Just remember, on this Resurrection Sunday morning, lies are criminal. Lies are mean. Lies are ridiculous. Lies are the result of malice. Lies are the result of cowardness. Lies are the result of vanity. And yes, lies are always detected sooner or later. Amen, right? Preach on, Pastor. The soldiers were even told if the governor heard about the lie that they were telling, it was going to be all right. The religious leaders would take care. And then they had nothing to worry about. So the soldiers took the money, did what they were told. And as the text says, and that's why this story was written, and even some of them are still telling it that lie again. But even some believe the lie, because I've even been told that the body of Jesus is in Rome. And if I was elevated to a certain position and got to go to Rome, they would walk me back. And I would see the body of Jesus. Well, I know it ain't the body of Jesus because I know Jesus got up. But this I know, because new life did show up. Showed up with power then, and it showed up with power right now. We have a story. And since God did so much for us, Jesus suffered for us, Jesus died for us, Jesus has a place prepared for us in glory. At least we can tell the story, the entire story. Lord, and tell you, not what this pastor or somebody else told you. Let Jesus meet you like he met those women on that first Resurrection Sunday where you are. So you can tell it, and I can tell it. Tell the story of Jesus, Lord. Oh, this I wanted to say. Jesus came and did it just for me, y'all. Well, I wish I could sing like he do in Spiffa. You know, Jesus, the boy in the sin, never been the holy man of God. But you know what? I've been hearing this story ever since I was a little boy. And I'm not going to sing it because y'all would say it's old school. It is old school. But I remember it because I've been singing it ever since I was a little boy in the basement of church down at 50 Lee Street in Midland. It says, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. And as the Bible verse said, I love to tell the story for those who know it best, still hungry and thirsty to hear it like the rest. And when it sees the glory, I said, I'll say a new song will be that old story that I have loved so long. Why? Because I love to tell the story. It's going to be my theme and glory to tell that old story about Jesus. I said Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, the one who died for our sin. Of Jesus, and his love. Amen. Amen.